Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus, and welcome to Shiar Jashub, coming from Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. I'm Patty Scalzo, and in today's program, we will continue a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. Pastor is in chapter 1, and when we left off, he was discussing that important scripture in verse 17, where the apostle, speaking about the gospel, writes, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo, and we will go back a minute or so in the sermon for context.
Not just one time, not just one moment. Obviously, a moment when we accept Jesus Christ is very special, right? The angels are rejoicing in heaven when we accept the Son of God. But it's not just one moment. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from beginning to end, a starting point when we enter God's righteousness, justification, and throughout our walk as we open our lives and let God make us righteous. And that speaks about what? A relationship with God based on faith, based on who He is, to let His righteousness, the righteousness of God, come in, believing on Him, trusting in Him, counting on Him, yielding to Him, as it is written, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. That word there for just is the same word we studied before where you get righteousness from, righteous, dikaios, the righteous one, the just one, righteous, just. The just one, the righteous one, shall what? Live. We live, we breathe, we move. If you're a believer, the only way you can live is by faith. It's not just one moment in time, your entire walk as a believer. We live in this world by faith. As it is written, where is it written? Actually, isn't it the point of the entire Old Testament? You have to live by faith. Faith in the God of Israel. You have to continue to walk day in and day out. It's not enough for Saul to live by faith at the beginning and then fall away. It's not enough for David to have faith to defeat Goliath and then all of a sudden he doesn't have so much faith there in the case of Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, right? Not so much righteousness and justice, and he has to repent and come back. Abraham has such great faith, and yet when he's in Egypt, you know, he's afraid of Pharaoh, and he says he's Sarah's brother, and she's brought into the court, into the harem, and he gets afraid, right? And the principle that constantly is portrayed is that even the mighty men of faith fall at different points in their faith, and the way you have victory, the way you succeed in this world, the way you're called to be, to live the life you should be, is to constantly have faith in God, from faith to faith, saying, "Lord, I can't do it. I need you every moment of every day. Give me your righteousness. Send your spirit upon me. I count totally upon you. I have faith. I trust in you." That's the message of the entire Old Testament. We live by faith. There is, though, a specific scriptural reference to this in the book of Habakkuk. If you look in Habakkuk, the better pronunciation of Habakkuk is Habakkuk, which Dr. McGee always would make everybody aware of, but nobody says Habakkuk, so I'll say Habakkuk, so you know what I'm talking about. Habakkuk is a prophet, he's a poet, he's a psalmist, he's a prophet of God who whose hatred for sin compels him to cry out to God. I'll read you the first four verses of chapter 1. It speaks about the burden, the oracle, or the prophecy which the prophet Habakkuk saw. He said, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice." Remember, when you're speaking about righteousness, you're speaking about justice. "And justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds." Wickedness, injustice, prosper, and righteousness, justice, righteous judgment fail. Why is this, Lord? Why is there all this violence? Why is there all this trouble around me? Why is there all this sin? He knows the hard-heartedness of the people of Judah. He knows injustice is rampant among his people. He is a minister during the death throes, the time right before the coming destruction of Judah, probably around 600 BC. Nebuchadnezzar is probably right at the door. Most likely the Assyrians have fallen. Most likely the Egyptians have fallen. And we're close to Jerusalem falling. And he's crying out about the sins of his people. And the Lord answers in verse 5, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful." And he goes on to tell him Judah's going to be defeated. And the sins of the people will be judged. And so now that doesn't really comfort Habakkuk too much, hearing about what's going to happen to Judah and Jerusalem. So he asks the second question. He asks in verse 12, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look at wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" And now he starts to take that, what's going on in his nation, where the righteous are being oppressed by the unrighteous. And now you have this pagan, unrighteous nation, which, yeah, Judah's bad, but you're going to let them come in and capture us? Why would you let even a more pagan, unrighteous nation take control over us? How can you use the Babylonians, these wicked pagans, to destroy God's people? So you have here basically an understanding. You know, you talk about the gospel going first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Well, we see in Habakkuk the sins of mankind, the injustice of mankind, first in the Jews and then in the Gentiles, right? And the problem of wickedness and the wicked devouring are throughout all the races, all mankind. He talks about the Babylonians and the wicked, and the wicked becomes synonymous with the Babylonians, and then it also becomes synonymous with Satan and his people. He says in verse 15, "They take up all of them with a hook, they catch them in their net, and they gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad, and therefore they sacrifice to their net, and they burn incense to their dragnet." So they're idolaters. And when this Babylonian kingdom comes, it's like putting a net down. It's not going to just catch the wicked of Judah. It's going to catch everybody, righteous and unrighteous. And that's one of the difficulties in society, right? When you see what's going around us in America today, when the penalty from God, when the justice from God, when the punishment of God falls, it doesn't just scoop up the unrighteous. The righteous get pulled in along with it. right? And the protection God desires to have around his people, which he has around this country so much and we don't understand it or appreciate it. If he pulls it back a little, the unrighteous nations prosper. And those that suffer can be both the righteous and the unrighteous of our nation. It's a net, it's a big net that comes in. And Habakkuk is saying, why? And why do you let them prosper in this way? And God then goes on to describe the devouring of the devourer. How there's woes. He pronounces judgment upon these that slay nations without pity. These that sacrifice to their nets. They sacrifice their nets. What does that mean? When they conquer, when the wicked conquer, they say, look what I've done. And they really have idolatry to themselves and whatever gives them power. And it's an abomination to God. They're seeing it as their own power, their own ability, you know, their pride. And God assures Habakkuk, as you read on in this letter, that all the wicked will face judgment, including the Babylonians. He says, indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man and does not stay at home, but he enlarges his desires as Sheol. He's not satisfied staying at home. He wants to conquer all these nations. He gathers to himself all the nations. He heaps up for himself all peoples. And he goes on to pronounce woes. Of what will happen, the judgment will happen on the Babylonians. And there's woes to the wicked. And in the start of his answer, you have this one section in chapter 2. Habakkuk says in verse 1, I will stand my watch, and I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, Habakkuk says. And I will answer when I am corrected. He wants an answer to his question about how can you let these more wicked triumph. And then it says in verse 2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it's going to fulfill everything. Behold the proud, and you see an image of the proud, the wicked man, the prideful nation. His soul is not upright. He's not right. His soul is not upright in him, but the just, the righteous, shall live by his faith.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on Rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org. And you can check Isaiah 7, verse 3 for the spelling.